It's good to be with you this morning as we worship our God together. It's good to be home and good to celebrate the Lord's Day with you. Dad asked me to give a few brief comments on the state of Rock Valley and also to give greetings from First CRC in Rock Valley. As you know, if you've been following us on Facebook or in the news, that Rock Valley was hit with a substantial flood June 22 and 23. And that flood affected 40% of our community, 540 homes, businesses, churches, and schools. Two of the three churches in our town experienced a substantial damage, 3 feet on the main floor of both of the schools. And so if you're a teacher, think of everything at counter height gone, wiped out. And so those schools are both anticipating opening the day after Labor Day. In September, we'll see how the Lord provides for that. Our own church, maybe many of you saw pictures perhaps of the church building surrounded with water. By God's grace, most of that water was kept out of the main floor. We experienced 1 to 3 inches on the main level. The basement, however, where the furnace was and those kinds of HVAC systems was completely wiped out. And so expenses are large, but expenses are not nearly what they could have been. And so we are in the midst of a restoration, and we are looking for FEMA trailers for the next while, as 500 people do not have a place to live. But we are trusting the Lord to do good work, and we're thankful for all the efforts that have been done already. We anticipate 50 to 100 homes coming down in Rock Valley, and Sioux County has no places for people to live, and so that's always an interesting trial of where people are going to go. And so we share those things that many are dealing with here, the uncertainties of the plant. And we also have those uncertainties where we are just with a larger group of people. And so we ask for God's grace to be with all of these things and decisions as we all face them. We do so with the Lord. And so as we gather around God's word again and have the opportunity to bring today Psalm 118, I invite us to turn to Psalm 118 this morning. This is found on page 597 or 696 from the Bible that I grabbed from the pew at least. And I'll have prayer as we turn to our God this morning to hear his word together. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, we give you thanks for the fullness of your church gathered this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the gift of technology where we can hear one another through many miles and places. We pray, Father, that your word would stretch into all of our hearts today, that we'd receive a blessing from you, that we'd be mindful of your goodness in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our sufferings and sorrows. Lord, you are the one who is near to us, your children. And so provide your spirit as we turn to your word to hear it read and proclaimed. Fill our hearts with your presence today. This we ask in Jesus' holy name, amen. We hear from Psalm 118 for our primary sermon text this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper, and I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, who will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me and have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festive procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here ends the reading of God's word, for which we give thanks. This sermon comes out of a larger series of sermons that were presented in the last 6 weeks in Rock Valley. We did a series on the Psalms, and we focused on all the ways God is, or he is, for us. And so this is out of that series. And in God's providence, we think of his goodness in these days, in these uncertain days. And when we hear that phrase, God is good, we hear that and we say, that's really simple and it's really profound. Because it is a truth of the Christian faith that we hold dear, that we acknowledge completely, but it's something that we don't live out as clearly. Oftentimes we say God is mostly good, or God was maybe better yesterday, at least he was better to me yesterday, or he was better to you yesterday. But the reality is God's goodness doesn't come and go. God's goodness doesn't change with time. His goodness doesn't change with age. His goodness doesn't change with a drought or a flood. His goodness doesn't change by the language we speak or the border in which we live in. God's goodness doesn't change whether we are celebrating new birth or mourning in death. God is good. God is good when we do what he wishes, what we wish he would do. And God is good when he does what we wish he wouldn't do it all. God is good. And Lord willing, you can still say that today. As you hear the plant closing, as you hear about a flood in another community, as you think about the last 4 years dealing with COVID and its aftermath, Lord willing, you can still say after all these things, God is still good. The goodness of God is still there, even though we may wrestle with that. We may wonder about it. The nation of Israel also wondered about God's goodness at times in the text that we heard. They celebrated when they were freed from Egypt after 450 years of slavery. And yet when they went out into the desert, they got to the Red Sea and they wondered, was God really going to protect us? Is God really good, or is God going to let us fall by the sword? Is he going to let us starve in the wilderness? And God provides manna. God provides a way through the Red Sea that provides them miracles and at the same time execution for their enemies. Verse 14 quotes Moses' song of victory. that the Lord is my strength and my song, that the Lord has become my salvation, because he is good. Again, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, when the foundation stone of the temple was laid anew, and in Ezra chapter 3, the psalm was sung again, declaring the great suffering had been endured, and yet God in his good promises had proven that he is good. The psalm was sung again when Jesus triumphantly came down the Mount of Olives and went into Jerusalem. In the final week of his life on earth prior to death, the people with palm branches sang, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," even though within a span of 4 days, the same crowd will shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." Yet even there, in the midst of all that suffering, God Almighty proved again that he's still good. Not only good in action, but good in being, so that we would take refuge in him. Thus, it's no wonder that right in the middle of the Bible, by the people who count such things, there are 31,174 verses in the Bible, and right at the center between verse 15,587 and 15,588 is this psalm, Psalm 118 and verses 8 and 9. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men." Because humanity fails us, but God never does. Humanity struggles with sin, but God never does. Humanity wrestles with temptation, but God never does. Because God is good. It is his eternal attribute that there is nothing in heaven and on earth that is better or safer or wiser or more fulfilling than the goodness of God. This is what the 17th article of the Belgic Confession, or the CRC's Three Forms of Unity, states it this way. It says, "We believe that our good God, by his marvelous wisdom and goodness, seeing that humanity had plunged themselves into the manner of sin and both physically and spiritually bringing them to death, made him completely miserable. God set out to find him." God set out to find humanity, though humanity was trembling all over and fleeing from him. Notice, we were running from the goodness of God. In fact, all of the elect, prior to the Holy Spirit moving in their hearts, runs from the goodness of God. Because we've been running since the Garden of Eden. And it takes the Holy Spirit to awaken us, to realize that God is not chasing us to hurt us, that God is not chasing us to punish us, that God is not chasing us to strike us down. No, the Lord is chasing us to comfort us and to promise us his Son, who has died for us, in order that we would be blessed forever, in order that we would see the goodness of God. This is what makes Paul proclaim that salvation is found in no one else. "For there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved, other than the good name, the holy name of Jesus." It is the good and holy name of Jesus that is the cornerstone of our faith. Though he is rejected by the world, he is embraced by all who are faithful, so that we would not be afraid, verse 6 tells us. "For the goodness of God is not only for the Jew, but it is for you and for me, the Gentile." We have been promised that the Lord is good to us. that the Lord has been good to us, that the Lord will be good to us, that the Lord is good to us. Even in the face of oppression, even in the face of sinful failing, even in cancer diagnosis, even in old age, even when we count those who are leaving, the goodness of the Lord comes to rescue us. The goodness of the Lord comes to be with his people to deliver us. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. Three times the psalmist says, in the name of the Lord, his enemies will be cut off. There's no doubt in the psalmist's mind. There's no fear that's there. He says what will happen. And in verse 17 and 18, the Lord's good power will sustain and restore life. Now, David's confident in that even to the point of death. For David says, I will not die, but live. And the same truth is available for all whose lives are hidden in Christ Jesus today, who are cared for and corrected by and held by the goodness of the Father's hand, so that every day we are given, we would each be able to say the words of verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because every day, in some way, the goodness of God is there. Even though we may have to search at times to find it. Even though we sometimes have to look for it. God's goodness is present. Even though circumstances can get in our eyes so that we overlook it. God's goodness is still here. God's goodness is still real. God's goodness is in this house of worship. God's goodness is in this community and in every community that serves him. God's goodness is in your heart. God's goodness is with you if you're tuning in from afar. God's goodness has been on display in this community's response to the plant closing, to Rock Valley's response to the floodwaters. Indeed, that's the shock of so many in our nation. When they see Christians go through hard times, and they see Christians go through suffering times, generally the question that is asked is, how can you possibly endure? How can you keep going? The answer simply is the goodness of God. The goodness that is shared with us physically, the goodness that is shared with us mentally and emotionally, but especially spiritually. God's goodness is with you because he is your God. Lord willing, the Lord Jesus is your Lord and your King and your cornerstone and your Savior this morning. And hopefully you don't even hesitate with that answer. Because you know that Jesus was far more than just a good man. That he is the one that you have to make a choice of whether to love or whether to hate. The skeptic turned theologian C.S. Lewis once wrote, "You must make your choice. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he was a madman. You can turn him away as a fool. You can spit on him. You can kill him. Or you can fall on your knees and worship him as your Lord and your God." Lord willing, you see Jesus this way, as your good Lord and your good God. Even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the questions that are here in Pollock or in the muck in Rock Valley, even in displacement, even in trouble or treatments. Lord willing, you can see that God is still good. Because Jesus came as the good king to rule the hearts of his people. And he came to rule your heart as well. That you would join in the festive procession up to the horns of the altar. That you would give thanks that he is willing to hear your cry and all the cries of his people. And that he not only has the ears to hear, but he has the mercy to answer. And the power to answer as he will. Because we have received all his blessings in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus has won all these things in his crucifixion. And that we are to celebrate these things in his resurrection. That he has shown us in his sacrifice that he is good. And that he will bring all things in sovereign plan to the goodness of all those who love him, to all those who believe that God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we hear the fullness of your word this morning, we acknowledge how hard it is at times for us to say and believe that you are always good. And yet, Father, we ask that we would be able to say with the psalmist at the beginning and the end of this psalm that you are the God who is good in all seasons, good at all times, good in all places, that you are the God who is near to all of your children. And so come near to our hearts today. Let our eyes see your goodness in all the decisions that are made. We pray, Father, that your hand of mercy would always be upon us. That we would see the joy of the salvation you have given us in your Son, Jesus. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen.